So we are now going to start with our meditation class. So please, all those tables over there is prepared for what's going to happen later on. But right now, we only have our present moment, and that's a beautiful time to make our minds very peaceful. And for those of you who have come especially for the AGM, which is coming, starting in a couple of hours' time, is remember this is why we have AGMs and committees and stuff, so we can have a wonderful place to practice meditation, to see our community grow, but most importantly, to create those opportunities where everyone can be still and peaceful and can enjoy the not just the peace, but enjoy the insight, the wisdom, the understanding which comes from meditation. Little by little, we improve our stillness of mind, and that stillness of mind gives rise to more insight and understanding, which gives rise to more opportunities for insight. Little by little, those two work together. What they usually call the calm and insight practice, always working together, going deeper and deeper, more and more profound, in order to gain a greater happiness, peace, and understanding of life. I know that many of you, you know, had great educations, but everything I learned at university was nothing as profound as what you experience for yourself in deep meditations. It's those deep meditations which get you close to the heart of Buddhism and allow you to start glimpsing and seeing the Dhamma. And even little things, I haven't been here for a couple of weekends because I've been teaching meditation retreats over in Jhana Grove. And one of the things which I often, when I ask questions about these deep meditations, what are they actually like? One of the things which, you know, I keep repeating, which does give me goosebumps as well, that when you get into one of these deep meditation experiences, how you experience it, what you feel, is one of the things they say is Sambodhisukha. And when I first read that, I had to read it in the Pali to understand exactly what is being said. And when you read it in the Pali, that word actually means enlightenment, happiness. I thought, wow, it's not enlightenment, but it's so close that it does literally give you a taste of Nibbana, a taste of enlightenment, an understanding of what it's all about. So those experiences are where we get really amazing understandings of the Buddha and the Dhamma and the Sangha. It's why we have Buddhist societies. So little by little, here on a Saturday afternoon, we start with doing some of the meditation. We go deeper and deeper, and sometimes, and it used to surprise me, sometimes ordinary people, they start meditating. It's amazing some of the stuff they get into, and amazing just the experiences which they have. And sometimes I sort of wonder, just like in the time of the Buddha, if you read those stories, they had many, many men and women, ordinary men and women, getting some amazing meditation experiences. So, why not now? So little by little, we teach these experiences, and often I just go at the very beginning stages of the meditation, learning how to sit quietly, sit comfortably, sit peacefully, which is what most of you are doing now. And, you know, sometimes it was strange. Why it should be strange, I don't really know. But, you know, to allow people to meditate on chairs if you want to. There's nothing wrong with meditating on a chair, as long as your body is comfortable. So most people these days, they meditate on chairs. I only meditate on cushions because, honestly, I'm more comfortable on a cushion so far in my life at this age. Who knows, later on, I might get a nice, what do they call them in Australia? Lazy boy chairs. Must have a lazy monk chair instead of a lazy boy. So I don't know what might happen in the future, but at the moment, I look at my body and it's comfortable like this. And how you're comfortable, that's totally up to you. You don't get extra advantages by sitting in full lotus on the floor. You get extra advantages by knowing how to be comfortable, knowing how to put your body in a position where it's at ease. I like that word, at ease. In other words, there's not much business to do in the body. Just like you're at work, all that business is done. There's no more emails to answer, no more phone calls, no more contracts to prepare. Everything is just fine. So you can take time out from the world, especially time out from the body, and just really relax to the max and be really peaceful. So I often use that phrase, relax to the max, and it means a lot. It's not just a joke word. That's why I keep on using it. How can you really relax your body? And relax it really, really deeply. And when you do, it's like you can sit for hours. And there's not an ache or a pain in the body. And more than that, when you really relax your body to the max, it tends to disappear. That's the nice part about meditation. Things going. A simile is just like all the business, all the work you have to do in the world. All the stuff which our ops manager and our admin assistant and all the other people getting themselves ready for the AGM later on. But even deeper than that is actually learning just how to let it all go, see it all disappear. And that's actually what it's like with your body. The whole body just disappears and vanishes. When that happens, that's really nice. Because in Buddhism, what you're left with is the sixth sense, the mind. And all that other five senses is like on the outside at first. But because it doesn't cause you any difficulties or problems, there's no real business for you there. Little by little, it disappears as you go inside. As you go inside, then eventually it becomes beyond you. You're inside this world of the sixth sense. And that becomes very peaceful and very beautiful and incredibly delightful. And afterwards, of course, to be able to do that, you have to realize you're safe. There's no difficulties or problems. You can stay there very comfortably. It's great for your health. And it's great for your peace of mind. And little by little, you get beautiful happinesses and insights from it. The more still you are, the more at peace you are, then the more your mind gets cleared. It's like having your, because I wear eyeglasses now, spectacles. Having your spectacles cleaned. And so when you open your eyes after the meditation, everything is just so clear and easy to see. That's what they say, the five hindrances are being suppressed. They're just not really active anymore. So you can see so easily. Not only that, as well as the five hindrances disappearing, so does what they call arati and tandi. This is from the Nalakapana Sutta. That's arati and tandi. That's discontent and weariness. Sometimes the weariness of life. You know, you get tired doing stuff. And tired coming and going, getting up, having a shower, whatever it is you do. But that sort of disappears. You have a big boost of energy. And also, you're clear. And nothing can really upset you. So those are the things which allow you to be still enough to gain deep understanding. If you want to know what deep understanding is, I always use something as a little simile. Hold something up, and I ask people, what is this? And sometimes people say, oh, it's a gong bonger, it's a stick, it's wood, it's, I don't know how long, maybe 9 inches long, I don't know. But anyway, what is it? Keep on looking. And the longer you look, the more you can see. And sometimes you can see uses for this you never ever expect, such as, my back was itchy. It's a good back scratch. What you're doing there, being innovative, seeing things in a different way, simply because you see things long enough, you find amazing different insights with them. Innovation. So anyway, that is just an introduction to the meditation. The reason I give an introduction about meditation, something saying about meditation, is just to get you in to the meditation mood. And after the 10 minutes of meditation, because this is our AGM day later on, we're going to start meditation now. And it's a guided meditation for the first 20 minutes. And then after the guided meditation, roughly 20 minutes, then another 15 minutes of quietness for yourself. And today, because we want to finish a little bit earlier, we're going to complete the meditation at 3:45. Is that okay? And there's AV geeks over there. And then at 3:45, we'll have the Q&A. Very good. I'm glad they're watching. I don't know what they're doing in there. They're maybe doing this in the movie games. Is not a computer night game you got in there going? No, it's not. Oh, no, you don't have to close this one. So anyway, so that's at 3:45. So it'll be about 40 minutes of meditation. Is that okay for you? Okay or not? Here we go. So if you want to get yourselves in a more comfortable position, it's your justice to adjust that until you get just the best possible. Watch it. Okay, very good. So here we go. So again, I'll leave the first 15 or 20 minutes. So sitting here, close your eyes. When you close your eyes, it's like you're closing your awareness to the world outside and just allowing it to stay inside. People coming in or going out, it's not your business or problem. It's like on a Friday night, sometimes when I start the meditation, there's not that many people here. When you finish the meditation, there's a lot of people here. It's amazing the powers of meditation. You multiply your audience. And I get to know how my body feels sitting here. Of course, you'd think after all these years meditating, I should know my body very well. But there's always some little things my body tells me which I never expected, never anticipated. So I'm ready for that. Aware of it, sitting here, what do you need, body? It's like a car which I set up to drive. I don't drive, by the way, being a monk. But I get it ready just in case. Making sure everything is in a good position. And then once I do a general perception of my body, then I become more specific. I just found this a very useful way to make a transition from the world outside to the world inside, to the world deep inside. Start off with my feet. See how they are. When I focus specifically on my feet more than anything else, it's like my feet has the opportunity to tell me if there's anything which might be a problem. And there is. One of my toes is a bit squashed. Oh wow, that's much better. And once I'm sure that my feet are comfortable, and it's not any type of comfort, it's a comfort which you can maintain for a long time without any problem. In this case, for 30, 40 minutes. And I look at the rest of my legs. Just imagine doing a body scan, scanning it slowly up the legs. And if there are some parts of my body which don't ordinarily cause any problems, such as my calf muscles, nevertheless I pause there. Just I want to make sure that all parts of my body realize that I care for them. And I mean that, honestly, you care for your body. And sometimes we want to pause somewhere. I can actually feel, it's not imagination, I can feel the muscles relax more. I go to my knees, they hardly ever cause any problems. But nevertheless, I'll pause there just to check on them, make sure they're all okay. This is called kindfulness, not mindfulness, but adding kindness to it. And go up my thighs. You can feel just even the skin on my thighs. Just relaxing as much as possible. To get to my buttocks. And they are pressed against the cushion. And I do make a point of ensuring the cushion is properly placed underneath my butt. Otherwise it will get sore. And it will make unnecessary disturbance to the practice of meditation. So make sure it's the best. And then go up to my waist. Had a cup of tea before coming in here. It's almost like I can feel that tea somewhere in there. I make my back nice and straight. Sometimes I over straighten it first of all and then let it loose. That's the one interesting, effective way of letting go. You tighten up a bit more than usual and then let it go. And it usually falls to a really peaceful, comfortable state. It's my whole body and insides as well. It's like you can feel your body, experience it. Because I do this regularly, you can understand if any part of the body is not as usual. If there's something which is tight, tense, aching, or a problem. You can feel it just in my left back. I feel a bit of tightness there. So I put my attention on that area. This is an example, and you give it so much kindness. Take away any fear. Give softness. It's almost as if my mind had a special invisible hand, and it was massaging that part of the body, stroking it, reassuring it. And usually any aches or tensions just disappear pretty quickly. It's like you're just checking out on the body and making sure that any difficulties, tightness, tensions disappear as soon as possible. And soon you get to the top of your body, of your torso, the shoulders. Make sure you relax them to the max as well. Feel those shoulders at ease. And all the time while you're doing this, you are strengthening your mindfulness. You're not allowing it to go wandering off all over the place, because this is important for you. This is your health and comfort. In times when people have fear of diseases, infections and stuff, people don't realize how powerful this is to protect you, to make your body strong. And go down my arms, make sure everything's okay down there, and to my hands. If there's anything there I want to pause at, I will. And back up to your shoulders and neck. And surprisingly, I just notice it's a bit of tightness on my shoulder. So I'm going to loosen that bit of clothing. And when you go back up to your shoulders and neck, make sure that everything is relaxed, at ease. And I also make sure that my head is well balanced on top of the neck. Sometimes I notice some people, their head is way down. That's going to cause them an ache sooner or later. Or sometimes it's to the side. That's going to cause some pain. So I make sure my body feels it's in a very good posture. I go to the front of my face, and the muscles around the mouth and the eyes, especially, or anything else which is going on there. I try and be aware of it as best I can and relax it, softening any tension in the eyes or the mouth. And then I become aware of the whole body, just joining everything up together, the legs and the butt and the torso and the arms and the head. So feel it as a unit, this body in which I live. If there's any part which I missed out, I'll focus on it now. Mindfulness allows you to get feedback and see how things change. I can know whether I'm getting more tense or more relaxed. When it feels relaxed, it feels delightful. Relaxing, and I don't need to move. The body feels at ease. And I stay like this, and it gets more at ease. And it's something which is helpful throughout the deeper meditations, to experience the delight of a relaxed body, as you'll soon feel the delight of a still mind. And when it's ready, I go to the mind, the peace. How peaceful are you right now? That is turning your attention to the inner world. Aches, pains, physical delight is outside. Peace is inside. Once I start to be aware of something as profound and basic as peace, I also know and realize what makes my mind more peaceful. What agitates it? What stirs it up? Simple things like being in this moment. Now is where my future is being made. It's the only truth which I can trust. So I give the moment my full attention. And it's easy, because it's delightful. It's joyful and profound. And I also allow my mind to tend towards silence. Spent a lifetime giving things names. And they're never accurate. Sometimes they come close. But they never really hit the mark as silence does. If you want to know, be silent. Things like the breath, delightful breath, nimittas, they'll come by themselves. You just stay here, enjoying kindfulness. I will be quiet until the end of the meditation. close to the end of this shortened meditation period. How is it inside you? How peaceful, how still is it inside? What worked for you? What is the cause of stillness? And how does your body feel? As you get to be aware of your body again. It's been looking after itself for a while. It does a wonderful job. I will shortly ring the gong 3 times. When the last ringing of the gong fades away, that's a signal to come out from your meditation. At the end of every meditation, it is good to open up the opportunity to ask any questions. So hopefully to have opportunity for 10 minutes of questions. Do we need to do the pause today? Is there any short question period? AV team? Ready to go, okay. Okay, so any questions from our audience here? Any of you wish to answer any questions? Oh, you do, yes. Oh, yeah, just one this year. Thank you. That's out of kindness to those listening overseas or outside. Good.
Thank you. So my question is, what's the Buddhist explanation or opinion on dreams, I mean like dreams that happen during like a sleep.
I mean dreams. You're saying dreams?
Dreams, like dreams that are happening during like deep sleep.
Yes. It's if some of those dreams are just one-off, they're usually not important. You cannot trust them. If they are even just one-off but very profound and very clear, they may be more important. Sometimes some people dream and the same dream happens not just once, but many times. And sometimes those repeated dreams, those clear dreams, they're a little bit more interesting. But nevertheless, they're not really 100% trustworthy. But nevertheless, you investigate them and just see. See if just when you were in a deep sleep, whether those dreams were just able to access some truths which were hidden from you. Little things like past lives, other people's lives. So often it's happened when people have passed away. They have these wonderful dreams of maybe their mother who passed. And it's not a scary dream. It's a very clear dream. It can be very, very helpful. Other times it's not just a dream. They see the deceased mother or something in real life. Not in real life, but with their eyes wide open for minutes. There's all sorts of interesting stuff. What's happening there is you're seeing these things through your mind, not through your brain. Two are different in Buddhism. And when you start to see them through your mind, it's hard to get access to that mind, first of all. Sometimes in dreams, it's like all your defenses are down. So those bits of information can sometimes sneak in. It can be amazing, wonderful. So, it really depends on what the dream actually is. Some more questions? Okay.
I often find that regardless of how long the meditation session is, it's only in the last couple of minutes that I actually really let go enough to get deep. Sometimes it's when the gong is rung as well. So I imagine it's something to do with letting go and almost a fear of letting go until it's too late.
It could be. So maybe the next time you do a meditation here, I'm not allowed to do that, to lie or to trick you. I could say, oh, we're going to do a short meditation today, only 15 minutes, and go on for an hour. But there's something interesting there that often we used to give our monks a couple of weeks retreat every now and again, and just by themselves, and that often we used to kind of joke that we'd ask the monk, how did you go on your 2-week retreat? He said, I was just getting into it, just right at the very end. So he said, okay, we'll give you 3 weeks. And the next time they did a 3-week retreat, how did it go? 2.5 weeks, hopeless, and they were just getting into it at the very end. The interesting psychology there is that there's a time when, doesn't matter how long it is, sometimes at the very end, you actually let go. And have all these cases in the suttas of like monks meditating for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. At the very end, nothing's happening. I just let go. And then things happen. Fascinated the psychology of meditation. It's not something you do. It's what happens when you stop doing. I don't know if that answers the question, but it's a fascinating question. Thank you. You got any?
I guess it's related question.
Yeah.
When a thought come up, how to come back to the breath without it seeming to be a craving, because
yeah.
I know it.
Usually, if you're appreciating your breath in your meditation, and that breath is just so much more delightful than thoughts, it's peace, it's stillness. And after a while, when you really get to know peace and stillness, it's almost, you have a reverence for it. Just like when some Buddhists, been Buddhists for years, they come inside a temple, they want to bow. They don't think they have to, but they just want to. It just draws you in. And it's just the stillness, the worship, the respect you have for stillness and peace becomes much, much greater than your interest in thinking. So after a while, you take the value away from thoughts and you give the greater value to quietness, which means you don't do anything. You see a thought coming in, you don't even think. just the mind just goes back to stillness and silence. They have this little phrase in the suttas, repeated many times. The mind leaps towards stillness, just like a deer in the forest leaps towards safety or to the water or something. It's automatic. You see that quietness? You can't resist it. But it's not something you do. It's something which happens. Because after a while of meditation, you really, really respect the quietness and the stillness. And the joy of that, the profundity of it. And all the thoughts are pretty gross in comparison. You can think at the end of the meditation, but enjoy the silence now. Does that make sense? Good. Okay, so we got some questions from overseas. I think we've got 5 minutes. So from overseas, we started a shorter meditation because we do have our annual general meeting today. So we're just going to finish this off quickly and then we can have a break and then we can come back for the AGM. AGM's at 5. Sometimes the attention goes straight to the breath or to the mind. Should we go back to the body and start from there anyway? No. Let your mind sort of decide. So if the mind really wants to go into the breath or to the mind, to the peace, let it. What is my, and I remember I say let it. Just give your mind just the inclination to go to what's really, really enjoyable. What is mind in Buddhism? Please kindly explain. And what does meditation do to mind? 6 senses. The mind is not the brain. The brain is part of the physical body. But the 6th senses, the 5th sense is physical touch. The 6th sense is the mind, knowing. It's one of the reasons why that sometimes people are meditating and it looks like they're dead. They're not there, they're perfectly awake inside. And sometimes, I was mentioning this to someone the other day, the way you can tell if a person is meditating or if they're dead is to feel their body temperature. In deep meditation, the body temperature is still warm. In death, it's cold. I don't know why, but that's what was said in the suttas. And that's also what has happened to a gentleman many years ago, meditating at home. And he got so deep in his meditation, they actually took him to hospital. And he was fine. Nothing wrong with him. And the doctor on duty was, his parents had come from India. So he knew something about meditation, even though he did not meditate himself, this doctor from India. So this is weird. This man is still warm. And there's no flatline ECG, flatline EEG, but he was still warm. And so they just never gave up on him. And just eventually came out of his meditation by himself. Had a wonderful time. And I mentioned this when I asked him, said, during that meditation, was there anything which was unpleasant? He said, no, it was blissing out all the time. But, he said, the one unpleasant thing was the scolding he got from his wife on the way home. Don't you ever do that again. Of course, he didn't follow his wife's advice. Please excuse me. Ajahn, when you perform the breathing meditation, do you focus your attention on the rising and falling of the stomach? No. If not, please advise me where my attention should be. Your attention should be on the breath. It's not nose meditation, it's not tummy meditation, it's not stomach meditation, it's breath meditation. Are you breathing in or are you breathing out? How do you know that? You know that in many different ways. It doesn't matter which way you know it. As long as you know breath is going in, breath is going out. That's all. There were years and years and years, I just forgot about where it's being located. I just knew the breath was going in or going out. And then afterwards, I remember just as an experiment, it was going in, going out nicely for a long time. And then I asked myself, hey, I wonder where it's going in and going out. And as soon as I asked my mind, where are you noticing this? You know what my mind said? It was on my nose, believe it or not. It didn't make any difference. I just forgot where it was being located. I just noticed the breath. Okay, last question. Should one meditate before breakfast or after? That's a deep question. The best time to meditate and the worst time to meditate. I mentioned this on the last question of one of my retreats recently. The best time to meditate is the time we call now. The worst time to meditate is later on. In other words, if you can, just do it now. Any time you have, meditate now. Before breakfast, after breakfast, both. But please don't meditate during breakfast, or at least don't go into jhanas during breakfast, otherwise you won't eat anything. Thank you very much for your questions. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, so now we've got to get ready for the AGM. And the AGM only starts at 5, and we can't start earlier, otherwise the person who organized this will go to jail. No, I won't go to jail. What we'll do now is, can we have